the volume.
What is going on, everybody? John Middlecoff, Three and Out Podcast, here late. Not too late. Just Chiefs game just ended. A lot to a little. Nice, easy win for the Kansas City Chiefs. And really quick, let's do a little Andy Reid appreciation moment. I saw this tweet. The dude is a flat-out winner. 23 seasons as a head coach. 16 10-plus win seasons. 13 trips to the second round of the playoffs. 8 trips to the conference title game. 3 Super Bowls. 1 Super Bowl win. 5th all-time in wins. 4th all-time in playoff wins. Andy Reid, a million different quarterbacks, tons of different star players, million different assistant coach. That guy is a certified ass kicker on the sideline. Congrats, Coach Reid. You probably, the Packers, Niners, but I think the game of the weekend is Bills at the Chiefs. That is a football game. Honestly, it might be for the Super Bowl. I mean, that might be the Super Bowl right there. I know Brady might have something to say with it. Aaron Rodgers might have something to say with it. But Andy Reid, certified winner. God, Chiefs, Bills, sign me up. Can't wait. Sunday afternoon, I'm there. I've been consuming football from Saturday night, then Sunday morning, and then Sunday afternoon, and then Sunday night. And now, because I do this for a living, I'm going to talk about football. Subscribe to the podcast. Middlecoff Mailbag will be a Tuesday, and then for Friday, Go Low podcast, little golf podcast. We'll be back at it this week after a little bout with, got over the cron, battled through it really quick. No big deal. We didn't skip any shows, but beside the golf podcast, which is a new show, but now we're rocking and rolling, and a lot happened this weekend. Let's start with our boy, Mike McCarthy. And if you're going to go in on Mike McCarthy, which I said coming into the game, he was a home favorite. He won 12 games. And I had a lot of people, a lot of you guys shoot me DMs like, Middlecoff, you're overhyping the Cowboys. And I came away from day, maybe I thought I was. Maybe you guys were right. Maybe I was too bullish on them. Obviously, they have a lot of talent. The man on the moon can see that. But there is something, there's a softness with Mike McCarthy. It was like that in Green Bay, and it's like that on this team. Now, unlike some of the Green Bay teams where he was the offensive play caller, I think we need to dive into the Cowboys and their assistant coaches. They obviously have two coordinators who are... Dan Quinn's going to be the next head coach of the Broncos. Let's start with him. Nice guy. I met him briefly one time at the Combine. Don't know him. Everyone that knows him swears by the guy. But think about this. Dan Quinn is going to become the head coach of the Broncos because his buddy is the general manager. And everyone thinks highly of General Patton. But if General Patton did not know Dan Quinn from their time with the Miami Dolphins in 05, Dan Quinn would not be a head coach. Because let's remember, for years with Atlanta, we all watched and we go, how is their defense so terrible? Isn't Dan Quinn a defensive guy? Didn't he tutor under and was a protege of Pete Carroll? Doesn't he know defense? And his defenses were consistently trash. They were awful. The couple years they had success, it was because of the offense. Kyle had the big offensive year. They go to the Super Bowl. Then the following year, they hire Sark, and they're good on offense again. The whole time, their defense was atrocious. And now he comes to the Cowboys. Good season, but they have some great pass rushers. And we saw today, mismatch. Kyle Shanahan versus Dan Quinn. Advantage Kyle Shanahan. And this guy just immediately went from being a bum to a head coach overnight. Like, I'm sorry, Denver Bronco fans. I don't know if I'd be that excited because I don't think this guy is some schematic genius. I actually think the Cowboys, because Jerry Jones said after the game, Mike McCarthy's going nowhere. Jerry Jones, if you want to say anything about him besides he's really rich, he's also pretty loyal. He stands by his guys. Mike McCarthy is going to stay. They're going to have a chance, whether it's Vic Fangio, Mike Zimmer, who's coached there before. I actually think they can upgrade at defense because I do think there's a softness to the team, and maybe it starts with the head guy. But we also know that Mike has nothing to do with offense. Now, I came up, my football career started in the Western Athletic Conference, also known as the WAC. And the blue chip program, when I went to Fresno State, was the Boise State Broncos, the blue turf. and Kellen Moore was their star quarterback. And to this day, I would say the best football players I've ever seen live in college by far are Reggie Bush and Kellen Moore. I love Chris Peterson. He's a UC Davis guy. I'm born and raised in Davis. And growing up, Mike Bellotti, Dan Hawkins, they had all this kind of this Davis crew. My dad's a UC Davis alum, and they're very highly thought of. I love Chris Peterson. He's been very good to me whenever I've been around him. I have a huge fan of that program and Kellen Moore. I respect Kellen Moore. I actually sometimes, I think, go over the top to like push back against people that talk shit about Kellen Moore. But in what world, if you watch the Cowboys the second half of the season or today, would you go, oh yeah, Kellen Moore's a lock to be a head coach and definitely a good head coach. Now, Kellen Moore's dad was a star head coach in high school in the state of Washington. Then Kellen Moore understudied as the quarterback for Chris Peterson, beside like Saban, Urban, and like Dabo, one of the best college football coaches of the last decade. And he's learned from him. And obviously he's a solid coach. But I think we need to pump the brakes a little bit on the Kellen Moore hype train. Now, if I was defending Kellen Moore, I would say this. Are we sure Dak Prescott is that good? Like, he's not bad, but is he that good? Because in no world, and I said this the moment he signed the contract, he's not a $40 million player. He's just not. Like, I know what a $40 million player looks like. Looks like Patrick Mahomes. It looks like Aaron Rodgers. It looks like Tom Brady, even though he only takes like $24 million. It is not Dak Prescott. For a big athletic guy, he does not have a great arm. I say this all the time. We'll get into Jalen Hurts in a second. For these explosive athletes, it's weird watching these guys with average arms. And Dak Prescott's arm is average at best. And today, he's skipping balls. He made one really good throw to Amari Cooper. But for the most part, the 49ers, and Jimmy Ward said it after the game, our game plan, and I've heard Coward say this over the years, Dak Prescott is really good when they can run the ball. Well, today they couldn't run the ball. Now, granted, they were behind. They just threw the ball. They operated like a spread offense. 4-5 wide and let Dak chuck it around. He was like 53%. He didn't. In the eye test, he was not very accurate. He skipped balls. He was off. It's not like on the move, he's that great of a playmaker. So again, I'm not anti-Dak Prescott, but he's overpaid. And in a salary cap league, when you overpay a guy by $10, $12 million, it limits your team. And their team's talented. But and the wide receiver's not an issue. They got Amari Cooper. They got CeeDee Lamb. Wilson can play. Both their tight ends can catch. Their running backs can catch. And Dak was average as the day is long. Now, we can crush Kellen Moore for throwing it, you know, 40-whatever times. But, you know, I think both of them are just a little overhyped. Kellen Moore, overhyped. I don't think he should be a head coach. Dak Prescott, making too much money. Like, what? Dak Prescott, I wouldn't say he got outplayed by Jimmy Garoppolo, but what the hell was the difference? I mean, I don't think there's that big of a difference between the two guys. Dak Prescott is not in the crew of guys where you feel good paying max money. And when you pay max money for a non-max player in a salary cap league, you find yourself having problems. Cowboys are soft. Their coordinators got outcoached. And their most expensive player was below average today. Equals first round loss. Go home. See ya. Talk to you next year. Let's talk about the other team from the NFC East. Tampa. I mean, how is Tom Brady, the first like several drives of this game, it's like, how is this guy this good at 44 years old? I had a buddy on the Eagles, a scout, who's like, won't Tom just retire? I'm watching him like, God, is this guy ever going to go away? How does he throw the ball so well? They had multiple drives to start the game. It's like 14-0. It's like, does this guy even break a sweat? Is just the avocado ice cream and the pliability stretches? How does this guy do it? But the main issue in the game was the Eagles had no chance. Their quarterback, like Dak Prescott, and like I said about Jalen, for this athletic, explosive guy, his arm strength sucks. He cannot make basic passes, basic out routes. He skips the ball. Now, was I too harsh when I called him a running back coming out of college? Yes. But I've kind of gone the other way, and I saw today, I'm like, what? Middlecoff, stand by what you believe. I do not think he's that good. I was not a fan out of college. I'm not really a fan now. And it's on the most basic level of the sport of football. In big games, and the Eagles were somewhat able to avoid it down the stretch because they played such shitty opponents. But when you play really good teams, especially in the playoffs, you're going to be put in situations of 2nd and 8, 3rd and 9. Well, what happens on those downs? You can't run it. You have to throw it. Balls down the seam, deep out routes, whatever concepts your coaches are dialing up. And simply put, Jalen cannot complete those balls. And for the most part, he's way off. So luckily, the Eagles made some good maneuvering, and they have three first-round picks. I think it's like 18, 19, and 22 or something. They're not great picks, but he has three of them. I would be in the market for Deshaun Watson. To me, that would be the quarterback I would go after. And I honestly think I wonder, start to finish, would they be better off with Gardner Minshew? If you can't get Watson, you know, we'll see. We'll talk about Russell probably in the next podcast. I can't. Don't even have the energy to get into Russell doing one of his little leaks. Like, you know, I don't want to leave, but if I did, I'd be interested in exploring your options. Russell, just have the balls to come out and say you want to leave. Either say it or don't. Stop, you know, hanging out on the fence. Pick a fucking lane, bro. But if you can get Russell, go after Russell. I would go heavily after Deshaun. If you can't get those guys, I would have an open quarterback competition. And I wonder if they would be better off with Gardner Minshew. But at least have a competition. Because I thought there were times today when you should let him in. Now, I also realize, like, really going to get a look at this guy. And now he has no beef if he's not the starting quarterback next year. Because you can't. Games like that. I mean, come on, man. This is the playoffs. This is. And Tampa, actually, after the first couple drives, it's not. I guess it never felt like a game. Never mind.
NFL playoffs are here to celebrate. FanDuel Sportsbook is giving all customers, up to $100 bonus on same-game parlays. You just place a same-game parlay on the Cardinals-Rams game, and you get a $100 bonus, win or lose. The more you bet, the more you'll get. I like the Rams to win and cover. By the way, I had the Niners this weekend, and I had the Bengals. So I went 2-2 on my bets. Payouts with FanDuel in as little as 2 hours. Great offers, new and existing customers. So log on to FanDuel Sportsbook. Unlock your same game parlay bonus today. Plus, if you're betting first time with FanDuel, they'll give you 30-1 odds on any team in the wild card to win if you use the promo code Colin. You can turn a $5 bet into $150. Promo code's always Colin, exclusively on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. 21 plus and present in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, Jersey, Tennessee, and Virginia or West Virginia. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max refund $10. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Same game parlay available for multiple sports in all states on mobile/web. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Visit fanduel.com/RG in Colorado, Jersey, and Virginia. Or call 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. Tennessee Red Line is 1-800-889-9789. Or go to 1-800-GAMBLER.net in West Virginia. Or call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342 in Arizona.
Let's talk about Saturday night. And I think one of the coolest parts as a football fan and just a fan of sports is it went away in 2020. And we were just so happy to have games back on TV after that couple month, you know, hiatus. But we didn't really have fans at a lot of events, right? Golf came back first, no fans. Then baseball came back, no fans. That was terrible. The basketball bubble was a joke. I mean, clearly. I mean, that wasn't even the sport, as we've seen. I'm sorry, Laker fans. Like, that's a joke title. Football, no fans in the stands. There are, in college football, it's very special to have fans. No matter if you're at Iowa, Michigan, or Fresno State, or USC. It really matters in college football. There are specific teams in the pros where it feels collegiate. And I think clearly the Buffalo Bills are one of those, right? Kansas City at Arrowhead and Buffalo are just special environments. And just watching that environment for their first true home playoff game in whatever, 25 years, Jill Kelly, Jim's daughter, had tweeted out this picture. I follow her on social media of that whole crew, you know, Tasker, Jim, Bruce Smith, Thurman Thomas, all these other guys at dinner. Eric Wood was there too. Just all had cocktails at a steakhouse. And it was like, you know, this means something. This is, for a small town, this is badass. But to me, the coolest part, the Bills deserve a ton of credit, and I can't hammer this home enough. I thought, and listen, I like Sean McDermott. Big fan. Worked with him for a year. One of the most disciplined human beings I've ever been around. I root for Sean McDermott to have success. But him and Brandon Bean, when they made the decision to draft Josh Allen at number 7 overall, me personally, I thought they were insane. My friends in the NFL, every single guy except one didn't like him. I couldn't find people around the NFL that didn't like him. And my one buddy that liked him, and this guy, his team's still playing. I don't see his name yet in the mix. He is going to be a general manager one day. I would put that bad boy in stone. And a good one too. Well, he liked him in his building. And his boss at the time, his GM, thought he was crazy. The entire building didn't like him. Nobody liked Josh Allen. There was a small percentage of people. The media all hated him. And rightfully so. He was inaccurate. I remember specifically taking time out of my day to watch Wyoming games that fall. Remember, they played Oregon. They had another Division I opponent. He was just terrible. Maybe it was Nevada. He was so inaccurate. He was so bad. And I want to like him. He's from the Valley. He's from Fireball. My dad used to farm there. I root for people from California just naturally, especially kids from the Valley. And I thought he was terrible. And everyone I knew thought he was terrible. And even early on, he was pretty terrible with the Bills. But what that guy, and here's what I know about Sean McDermott. He values character, like football character, and just drive and determination. And clearly this guy has it. And he's gotten better and better and better. Now, one thing you could never deny with Josh Allen were elite physical attributes. If he was a basketball player, he would have been like, a raw Shaquille O'Neal. Like, you just don't build these guys. 6'5", 235 pounds, can run, and has the strongest arm in the league. Now, he didn't know where the ball was going, but the raw tools were freakish. I see with the Golden State Warriors, they drafted this guy named Jonathan Kuminga, number 7 overall. Dude is a freak show. Absolute freak. Doesn't quite know what he's doing yet, even though he had 20 points the other night. But it's just, that's what you want to draft. Now, ultimately, it's on the coaching staff. It's on the player to get better and better. What I witnessed Saturday night, I'm watching this Montana documentary, so I've stumbled into some rabbit holes of watching some Dan Marino YouTubes and John Elway YouTubes. That's what this guy is. What we witnessed, 21 or 25, 300, the box score does not do what we would, the cold, the frigid, throwing those BBs and those dimes and those frozen ropes. This guy's ceiling is Hall of Fame. This guy, clearly, he's changed the Bills franchise forever. Now, they got to go and play the Chiefs and Mahomes, slay the dragon. I get it. But to win that game at home against New England, a coach who's going to go down as the greatest coach of all time, who had a great bounce back season, won 10 games with a rookie quarterback who doesn't have a great arm. They do not have that much skill. As a buddy and a guy in the league texts me, he's like, I got news for you. New England overachieved this year. I'm like, yeah, they really did. To beat the shit out of the Bill Belichick like that. And basically, you know, this is for the last 20 years of kicking our ass. We are going to just be relentless on you tonight. And it all started with number 17. That's as good of a performance as you'll ever see from a quarterback. That's quarterback mastery. And I the defense was off, whatever. That's been one of the better defenses all season long. And Josh Allen made them look like the Jags. You know, made them look like, you know, the Atlanta Falcons. He clowned them. It was really cool to watch a player come as far as he's come. And again, I got to give so much credit to the organization for having this big picture view, developing this kid. Obviously, they paid him this year, and he just keeps on getting better. And that was as just a sappy sports fan, that was a cool moment Saturday night. I watched the whole thing, and I'm not one to watch blowouts, you know, on a weekend night. Like, I'll just turn on the other channel. Obviously, we only have so many games left. But I think a huge reason was the fans and watching 17 just play the game of his life. But when you watched him, you thought, this is pretty repeatable. Like, physically, he's so fast. His arm's so strong. He throws these ropes and these lasers. What a badass. What a cool night for just Bills Mafia. And then last but not least, Josh Allen took time. Right? It did not happen overnight. It really didn't even happen the first couple years. He came into his own his third year. Some guys come in and are just ready to roll. Are just from day one, you're like, this guy's on a different level. And it's rare that it happens at quarterback, right? Most quarterbacks in recent memory that get drafted really high just need a little time. Right? Even Patrick Mahomes didn't play for a season. Even though his first year starting, he was awesome. Herbert kind of hit the ground running, but his team hasn't had any success. Lamar was pretty remarkable right off the bat. But when Joe Burrow went number one, like, let's face it, we've all, if you're my age and your mid-30s, we've watched college football for a long period of time. That 19 LSU team is, we might never see anything quite like that again, especially offensively. And you're just thinking, like, is this guy really this good? Or, you know, and then Jefferson has his great rookie year. Obviously, Burrow gets hurt. And then Chase is coming in. You're like, you know, is he really this good? It's like, yeah, he's actually better than advertised. He's changed a franchise. Unlike the Bills, like, they had Sean McDermott. He had made the playoffs before. Mahomes, like, Andy Reid had been going to the playoffs all the time. This guy came into the Cincinnati Bengals. Not only just kind of a clown operation since Marvin had left, but they're known as cheap. They hire this guy named Zach Taylor that no one had even heard of. And then he gets injured. Even though in that, you know, the brief time before he got injured, the team was so bad. It was clear if you just been watching football, you're like, this guy can play. This guy can play. Then he pounds the table to his organization and says, I want Ja'Marr Chase. But, you know, sometimes players, college teammate, they had won a national championship. I understand it. He said it because he knew the dude could ball. And then he gets Ja'Marr Chase, and they win the AFC North, a division that had arguably the best roster in football, the Browns, the Ravens, who just make the playoffs every year and have Lamar Jackson, and the Steelers that are just the fucking Steelers. They never lose. Now, they may not win that many games lately, but they never go under 500. He wins the division. And you watch him the other night, and you just go, you know, I would probably, like, I'm a sucker for bigger arms, so, you know, Mahomes, Allen. But, like, I do understand people that are like, I'd rather have Burrow than Herbert. Like, I get it. He's got some, in the analytic, people hate this. Like, what does even it mean? I don't know. Watch fucking football. It's pretty easy to spot because it's pretty rare. And Joe Burrow has it. That guy changed the Cincinnati Bengals. And I can't recommend this enough. If you have Peacock, the Joe Montana documentary is unreal. And Bill Walsh, if he wouldn't have been a star if he didn't get his quarterback. And he drafted Montana, and Montana changed his career. And you're watching this, and you go, listen, and I grew up in Northern California. My dad is the biggest, to his dying days, was as big of a Joe Montana fan, just probably like most people around this area that are over 60 you'll ever meet. Because they go, I know what I watched, and what I watched, the dude was just on a different level. And I'm watching this documentary, I go, I underrated Joe Montana. Now, I still would give Brady the nod, but I get it. Like, Joe Montana was a certified killer. He actually was at Notre Dame. The irony of Montana's story, it was like very, very difficult for him to get on the field at Notre Dame. And I think sometimes, like Tom Brady, it was hard for Tom Brady to get on the field at Michigan. And even, obviously, when he first got drafted, he was a four-string quarterback. To me, there's something to the grit in some of these guys. Like, Joe Burrow was told by Urban Meyer, we're going to start Dwayne Haskins over you. Like, think how well that's aged. And then he goes to LSU, and they weren't even good his first year there. And his second year, the rest is history. And then he goes to the Bengals. Like, ultimately, Patrick Mahomes got to go to Andy Reid. Josh Allen got to go to Sean McDermott. This guy went to Zach Taylor. Most people, you guys couldn't point him out of a lineup. I'm not even sure he's that great of a coach. But I know Joe Burrow. If he stays healthy, like, this guy's going to be one of the top quarterbacks in the league for the next decade. He's fucking awesome. He is Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Mahomes. The league is in such a great place with some of these young quarterbacks. The swag, but also just how cool they are and just normal they are. They give off these vibes of, like, maybe easy to have a beer with. And I give Joe Burrow credit. He kind of went Ron Wolf, called his shot, told him to draft Ja'Marr Chase. And let's face it, a big reason, like, obviously Joe gets all this credit, but without Ja'Marr Chase, who knows if they're in this position. Now they're in the second round playing the Tennessee Titans. Titans are good. You know, they find ways to win. But I think this is a winnable game for the Bengals. We'll get into the matchups a little more on Tuesday's podcast. But what a fun weekend to watch stars. Deebo Samuel, Joe Burrow, Josh Allen. That's what the playoffs are for, man. I saw Kyle Shanahan in his press conference say it well. He's like, I tried to tell these guys. He went back and watched, like, the 94 NFC Championship game. He's like, players become heroes of young kids. Like, Michael Jordan became a big deal because of what he did in the playoffs. Like when I was a kid, when I think Aikman, Young, Favre, it's the enormous games in January. This is when you become a legend. Tom Brady became a legend with all the playoff victories. Obviously, the regular season matters. But if the regular season meant that much, we would act like James Harden's a top 10 player ever. Only Daryl Morey says that. Not a human alive. Most of us think James Harden's the most overrated player going. Because when it matters, like Tiger Woods is a legend because he won, whatever, 15 majors. He won 90 tournaments or whatever. But it's all about the majors. It's all about the playoffs. What do you do in January? That's what matters. It's why there's so much pressure on Aaron Rodgers. Like, bro, you got to get to another Super Bowl. I said this forever about Peyton Manning. He was too good of a quarterback to only have one Super Bowl. Even the last year where it's like, let's face it, he was kind of running on fumes. He deserved to retire a multi-Super Bowl guy. Aaron Rodgers is one of the best athletes any sport I've ever seen. If his career ends with only one Super Bowl, it'll feel like a letdown. Like, this should be his year. But am I that confident? I don't know. You know? But he should. He should end this season with a Super Bowl victory. Sure, we'll get into that as a week goes on, but what a week. God, I love football. Subscribe to the podcast. Share it with your friends. I'm sweating. It's 8:45 at night in my office with the lights off. Sweating. That's what I'm doing right now. Sweating, talking about sports. What a world.
The volume.